Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Utah State University is hosting Heidi Kuhn, the 2023 World Food Prize Laureate, as the keynote speaker at the USU Food Security and Solutions Symposium, which is happening today in the Life Sciences Building Auditorium and Atrium, beginning with the keynote talk at 3 o'clock. The event is free and open to the public. Other events will include student presentations, a student poster session, and networking on finding solutions to food security here in Utah. Heidi Kuhn, through her nonprofit organization Roots of Peace, which she founded in 1997, has led initiatives to restore agriculture in former conflict zones, restore soil health, enhance food security, support livelihoods, and help sustain local communities with new sources of food and income. This symposium is sponsored by the College of Agriculture and Applied Sciences, the Center for Anticipatory Intelligence, the Haravi Peace Institute, and the Hunger Solutions Institute at Utah State University. And Heidi Kuhn, it's such a pleasure to welcome you to
the program. It's such an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
So before we dive into some of your interesting biography and how you founded Roots of Peace, for those who don't know, the World Food Prize, it's a big deal. It's basically the Nobel Peace Prize of food security. Mm-hmm. So you got this last year.
Yes, it was such an honor and privilege to receive this in October 2023 in Des Moines, Iowa. And, you know, since I received this award, it's not an award to put on a shelf. This is a call to action of cultivating peace through agriculture. And I believe this is a time in human history where we need to dig deeper for peace than ever before. The theme at the World Food Prize was harness change, and that is what I'm determined to do in this spring planting season. And again, such an honor to be back here in the state of Utah, in the heartland of America, because I believe from the soil and the soul of America, peace can be cultivated through agriculture, leading with the shovel and not the sword.
Yeah, it's wonderful work you're doing. So I want to get into a little of your biography. You've been reading up a little bit, and there's a YouTube video out there people can go to. I want to start with apparently high dive was a thing you did that kind of gave you a little confidence. Every teenager, every youth needs something, right, to hang their hat on, right?
Well, you're going way back there. Yes, I'm a fifth generation descendant of a Marin County family, and that's the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. My great-great-grandfather came and settled there in the 1850s, and they were ranchers. They knew a lot about the land, respecting the land and respecting the people. And years went by, and I was born in 1958, and in San Rafael, the city center of Marin County, and namesake for the Angel of Healing. And I believe so fortuitous in terms of the healing that needs to happen in the world. But I was very privileged to be a Rotary Club exchange student when I was 17 years old, at a time when women were not allowed to join Rotary anywhere in the world. And when I came back and spent my days in studying and prepping for my education, I was a high diver. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
On the I did the 1 meter board and did backflips, somersaults, and occasionally landed in a belly flop. And yeah. I think that's such a metaphor for life, because you know, you have to aim high and take turns in life and always strive to achieve a 10.
Yeah.
And when you don't, you know, get back on that board and try again.
Yeah, good lessons, right? I understand you met your husband at Berkeley. Went to Berkeley, and there's a Utah connection, you're
yes.
telling me.
Actually, I met him previous to knowing he was one of the students, one of 33,000 students at Berkeley. It was April 4th, 1977, and my family had taken me to the beautiful state of Utah for Easter break, and I met this wonderful young man, and it turned out as we went up the slopes in Alta and Snowbird that he was a student at Berkeley. And April 4th has since become United Nations Landmine Awareness Day. So I always treasure April 4th, 1977. And we have now 4 children and 7 grandchildren. And just so beautiful to be back in the state of Utah. As you know, it holds a great deal in my heart. And to be in the heartland of America right now is full circle.
Right. Well, it's great to have you. So you then, I guess, went to journalism, right?
Yes.
Ended up in Alaska.
Yes.
And created something called NewsLink International.
Yes, correct. Again, life is a journey, not a destination. And when I graduated from Berkeley in 1979 in political economics of industrial societies, I originally went into banking. My husband went into IBM, which we know means I've been moved. He was moved to Juneau, Alaska with a 1, 3, and 5-year-old. And I was certainly looking with perspective of Alaska and saw that there was quite a bit that was happening in our northern state that wasn't being reported on in the lower 48, and that was the melting of the ice curtain between U.S.-Soviet relations. The two-mile border between Big Diomede and Little Diomede kept families apart for 70 years, and so I started my own news company, Alaska NewsLink, which grew into NewsLink International, and covered the stories of perestroika and glasnost, flew to Moscow, and actually was in the room with Gennady Gerasimov. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs announced that Andrei Sakharov had just died. And it began a journey of really looking at culture and the seeds we have in common as opposed to those which separate us. And it was an extraordinary time, a time of hope, a time of bridging borders for peace. And I suppose looking back on my life, it's something that I have never stopped doing despite the obstacles and certainly the great sadness that I see in the work that was done three decades ago to bring facilitate understanding among people, and to see the atrocities going on with war just deeply saddens my heart. But it's not a time to give up. Again, I believe peace through agriculture is my battle cry. And as you know, we all share the same earth. We inhabit the same earth. We love our children. And at the end, we're all mortal. That was the speech by John F. Kennedy on June 10th, 1963, before his death. And I think those are words we live by today. As humans, we need to look at the earth right now in a holistic manner and again, find the seeds we have in common as opposed to those which separate us.
So I want to get into how you came to have the idea and found Roots for Peace. You're raising your kids and I imagine happy, had your successful career there, then a cancer diagnosis, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. with young children.
Yeah. Well, nothing stops you in your tracks at 30 years young and receiving that call that you have malignant cancer. And that C word, just I remember it was a very rainy day in Juneau, Alaska, and the doctor had called and said that I had malignant cervical cancer and that I had to be on the next flight down to San Francisco because they didn't have gynecologists, believe it or not, in the state of Alaska. It's a male-dominated state, and it was by chance only that I was able to find this diagnosis. And I remember going under the knife, and I think anyone who's gone through cancer, you make a very quiet prayer between you and your maker, and mine was, "Dear God, grant me the gift of life, and I will do something special with it." Years went by, and I went back to that same wonderful gynecologist, and he had a terrible stomach ache, and he came back with tears in his eyes, and he couldn't speak, and I just thought the worst. I just said, "Say it, get it out." And he looked at me and said, "You have a miracle. You're pregnant."
Wow.
So I have 4 children now. And Dr. Brooks Kuhn is 40. He's an ICU critical care doctor at UC Davis. Tucker is managing our programs in Guatemala with the farmers. Kylie is a beautiful entrepreneur and model for peace. And I named my son Christian because he was a little miracle that came from where life wasn't expected to be. So he's 28, and I more than doubled my life. And it was that moment of cancer that really was a defining moment for me when I realized that following the tragic death of Princess Diana, I think the world realized that there were landmines that plagued our planet. And I was just astonished to learn that we live in a world today with an estimated 110 million landmines in 60 countries. Now, that was the baseline in 1997. And as a mother, again, Marin County is located on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, I couldn't imagine driving my children to soccer practice, that there were children around the earth that kicked a soccer ball out of bounds. Perhaps it was the only soccer ball in the village. The mother and father said, "Don't go beyond that red rock. It's a minefield." But what do six-year-old children do when their mother and father aren't looking? The little children run out there and boom, lose a life or a limb to a landmine. And again, as I was asked 3 weeks after Princess Diana died, the Commonwealth Club of San Francisco asked if I would host an event at my home about some people who had just come back from Princess Diana's funeral and were doing something about landmines. And somehow a voice came from a mother with a very, you know, active children in a somewhat messy house. I said, "Yes, of course, I will host this." And I, we didn't have Evites. I had to call people, and ended up on September 21st in the living room of my home with over 100 people, including the Consul General of Norway, Hans Urla Ustad, the Consul General of Germany. I lifted my glass in what I look back on was a prophetic toast. May the world go from mines to vines. And as I said those words, you could hear a pin drop. And in my mind, I remember just almost a visual watercolor wash, just the vision of turning blood into wine, killing fields into vineyards, swords into plowshares, and the killing fields of the bloodshed of one-third of our planet that is the piercing the skin of Mother Earth are these insidious seeds of destruction caused by landmines, dormant seeds that God Allah Buddha did not give us to plant into this earth. And today it just deeply saddens me to see fast forward that we are watching as humanity in real time the planting of not only landmines but cluster bombs dropping from the sky in Ukraine. And today Ukraine, just shortly after the 2 years since the war ended, 30% of the country is riddled with landmines. And this is a country that was once known as the breadbasket of Europe, and the excess wheat fed North Africa. So this is a food security issue. And, I believe in my heart that we can no longer think in silos, that landmines are political military affairs. You know, food security is agriculture. And the beauty and purpose of being here in Utah, in the heartland of America, is the discussions, the beautiful discussions that I had last evening with the faculty and staff at Utah State University. From different departments, talking about interdisciplinary dialogue, understanding from those who are teaching indigenous cultures about regenerative agriculture, those who are talking about AI, those who are talking about the business of peace and the engineering that we need as humanity to take our minds, M-I-N-D-S, and to create a business model for peace. Demine, replant, and rebuild. And that is a value chain that can be rolled out around the world starting now. It's spring. This is the time to plant. We reap what we sow. And nature doesn't wait for peace treaties to be signed. This is a time to again, lead with the shovel, I believe, like never before. And in the words of the Isaiah prophecy, respected by Christian, Jews, and Muslims alike, may they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, so that nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Amen to that, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up this, what your work is.
Yes, right? Yes. How the beyond the vision. Beyond the vision, turning vision to reality.
And what your work is, it is amazing. Roots of Peace is the organization. We're talking with the founder of Roots of Peace, Heidi Kuhn, who is the 2023 World Food Prize Laureate. She is in Logan right now as the keynote speaker. will be at the USU Food Security and Solutions Symposium, which is happening today. It's free and open to the public. And so this symposium begins with Heidi Kuhn's keynote speech in the Life Sciences Building auditorium and atrium on the USU campus, 3 o'clock this afternoon. Then there will be student presentations, networking, and trying to find solutions here in Utah. Roots of Peace can be found at rootsofpeace.org. Good to go there and find out what's happening. This symposium is sponsored by the College of Agriculture and Applied Sciences, the Center for Anticipatory Intelligence, the Harvey Peace Institute, and Hunger Solutions Institute at Utah State University. We'll have more following this. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking with Heidi Kuhn, who's the 2023 World Food Prize laureate. And founder of the nonprofit organization Roots for Peace. They remove landmines. That's only half the battle. Then they promote agriculture. A two-step process, very important. And Roots of Peace can be found at rootsofpeace.org. She founded that organization in 1997. And has led initiatives to restore agriculture in former conflict zones, restore soil health, enhance food security, support livelihoods, and help sustain local communities with new sources of food and income. Heidi Kuhn will be a keynote speaker at the USU Food Security and Solutions Symposium, which is happening today in the Life Sciences Building Auditorium and Atrium. The keynote is 3 o'clock. There'll be other activities, including student presentations and networking. It begins at 3 o'clock, Life Sciences Building on the USU campus, free and open to the public. Symposium is sponsored by the College of Agricultural and Applied Sciences, Center for Anticipatory Intelligence, the Harvey Peace Institute, and Hunger Solutions Institute at Utah State University. So Heidi Kuhn, I want to read something. This struck me. So Rose Judd Murray is Assistant Professor in the Department of Applied Sciences, Technology and Education, Program Leader with USU's Center for Anticipatory Intelligence, and it's organizing the conference, as you know. So here's what she says. I want my students to see that Heidi is a regular person who decided to step up and make a difference. You don't have to have an advanced degree. You don't have to have billions of dollars. You just have to get in the fight. So that was very much demonstrated by you. You've overcome cancer. Mm-hmm. You promised God you'll do something mm-hmm. with your life, mm-hmm. and then you get this, mm-hmm. I guess, vision of what you can do. Mm-hmm. But the next step is to go and do it. I guess yes. you just have to start and not wait till whatever happens. You have to start.
Yeah, and that's the hardest part, and I think it's the most important part. And really addressing the students and young people today, we have to realize that our footsteps for peace do count, and one foot in front of the other. That's really after the Minds to Vines, a toast to peace that began in my home, could have been a lovely dinner, but I walked out the front door the next morning, and I walked up to the Napa Valley, to vintners. Again, they don't consider themselves as la-di-da Napa Valley. These are farmers who work the earth, who grow grapes. And I approached Robert Mondavi, and he was one of the visionaries who put the Napa Valley on the map. Tor Kenward of Behringer, Eric Wente, Mienko Gurgic was born in Croatia and just passed away at 100 years young, and asked them if they would help me to turn this vision into reality. And I'll never forget, they said, well, how much money do you have, Mrs. Kuhn? I said, well, nothing. I'm armed with an idea. Mm. And they chuckled like you are and said, well, then we need to have a fundraiser for you, don't we? And we'll always be forever grateful to Robert and Margaret Mondavi, who hosted an event in the Robert Mondavi private dining room in 1999. We raised $30,000. The U.S. Department of State matched it. And I was on my way in January 2000, the first month of the new millennium. My dear husband, Gary, took care of our four children and knew how passionately I wanted to walk my first minefield. It was a U.S. Department of State mission. Trugman had just died. It was, again, a somewhat dangerous time, flex time. There were 1.2 million landmines in Croatia in January 2000. And I'll tell you, nothing stops you more in your tracks when you suit up and you put on that demining gear, the Keflex jacket and the helmet, and they ask you your blood type. and it's a defining moment. You really realize you are walking the talk. And, you know, to be able to follow these brave D-miners, and you ask them with tears in their eyes, why are you doing this? And they said, well, I have a 3- and 5-year-old. If I don't do it, who will? So we came back to Napa Valley. We raised even more money from private sector, the State Department, Office of PMWRA, Political Military Affairs, Weapons Removal and Abatement, matched those funds. And over the years, we were able to remove landmines in Vukovar, Ilok, Čestomale, Čestevelica, Baštica, and Bibinje. And I can say today with confidence that I have seen with my own eyes Croatia go from one of the top mined countries in the world after the Balkan War to one of the top tourist destinations in the world. So to tell me that peace is not possible, I beg to argue. Look at Croatia. Let's hold that up. And in a world of darkness right now, when we can't imagine post-conflict, the answer is in the soil. And it's in the soul of humanity to make a conscious decision, again, to take those footsteps for peace, to walk forward and to raise the awareness. Thank you so much for this interview, and raise the funds, because this is a massive problem that affects the future generations of the Earth. The landmines that are being planted today will maim or kill future generations of children yet to be born. So I believe it's our responsibility. Myself, as a woman, we bear the seeds of life, and it's our responsibility to make the land safe for our children. Now, there's a business model to all of this. Mm-hmm. And again, in Croatia, not only did we do the demining, but we did the replanting of the apple trees, the replanting of the cherry trees, and of course, restoring the grape industry. 5 months after my initial journey there, Mijenko Grgic, G-R-G-I-C-H, owner of Grgic Hills, was born in Croatia. And when he heard there were landmines in his homeland, he flew back with me. And at that time, my daughter was turning 13 years old, and I was a soccer mom listening to the conversation with the girls, 13-year-old girls in the back seat, talking about the latest pair of blue jeans. And from my heart, I didn't want my daughter to grow up thinking that the latest pair of blue jeans defined who she was as a woman. So again, on a State Department mission, I took her to a minefield on her 13th birthday, and it, looking back, it opened up her eyes in a sense of appreciation and respect for the privilege of where she was born and the responsibility of giving back. As she grew throughout her teenage years, she started a penny campaign, raising one penny at a time. She raised 50 million American pennies to build schools for girls in Afghanistan. And that legacy from the heart of a little American teenager who really brought, you know, 70 schools in Marin County. Now, people in Utah may, you know, roll their eyes and think of Marin County, but I, again, fifth generation, know it a very, very different place. After World War II, when the worst war in the world had happened, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt gathered the original delegates of the United Nations to gather under the redwood trees of Muir Woods in Marin County. And he believed dubbed those the temples of peace, as conversation to avert perhaps a World War III. And, you know, we're in very dark times right now. And the namesake of Roots of Peace began from the inspiration of those redwood trees. And I think, you know, deeply rooted in America as Americans and teaching our children, you know, again, the sense of privilege, but the responsibility that they have in whatever their way is to create a better and more peaceful world. So I'm really excited to talk to the students here at Utah State University this afternoon to listen to them, because I didn't come up with that idea for Kylie. She did. And I really believe with the tools of technology and AI, boy, I mean, these students here in Utah could create a groundswell with their ideas, their ingenuity, their innovation, and with the faculty. You know, though, we are the elders. We are the wisdom keepers now, and we can support support their vision to do something very positive in our world. And I believe something that we've yet to be seen. We perhaps are on the vanguard of World War III, and I think we need to look at those lessons of the past as the indigenous cultures share with us to help chart our future for humanity.
I wanted to talk about the second half of this, right?
Yep.
So you remove the landmines, mm-hmm. Then you want to promote agriculture. I'm just reading from your website, by the way, rootsofpeace.org. And this is a page called Why Agriculture. So there are an estimated 500 million smallholder farming households globally who represent a large proportion of the world's poor, living on less than $2 a day. The well-being of these farmers is a critical element of a peaceful society, so they must not be forgotten in conflict. I like this part of it. The philosophy here is restore the land, mm-hmm. get the farmers back on the land, help them to be profitable. And then they, with that money, can help solve their other problems.
Yeah. No, that's spot on. And let's now go chronologically from Croatia to Afghanistan. How did we get into Afghanistan? Well, of course, we all experienced the September 11th attacks on the United States, but our promise by President George Bush that, you know, we would reach out and help the innocent, right? So as I thought through Minds to Vines, I went to UC Davis and researched and found that 70 varietals of grapes were indigenous to Afghanistan. And of course, the grapes would never be fermented due to respect to the Muslim culture. But we thought it was a pretty good idea to go over and expand our program from Croatia to Afghanistan. We began with generous funding by another vintner, Diane Disney Miller. She was actually, unbeknownst to me, the daughter of Walt Disney. She owned Silverado Vineyards and wrote me a check for, again, when you're in the basement of your house collecting pennies for peace, $200,000, and said, "Go turn your minds to vines. It's a Mickey." And when she said, "You remind me of Dad," I looked and I said, "Mrs. Miller, who was your father?" And she said, "Walt Disney. He knew a thing or two about vision." So, you know, it just takes that first person to invest in your dream and then turn it to reality. My husband, Gary, went over there with me, and you know, he actually was the first one to go there in 2002, overseeing the demining that was done. We contracted with the United Nations Mine Action Service and removed over 100,000 landmines, UXOs, and cluster munitions from the Somali Plains, which is located north of Kabul. This is a rich agricultural district, similar to the San Joaquin Valley of California, just a breadbasket. And Afghanistan, people don't realize that it's a country that's 80% dependent upon agriculture for jobs. This is not Tora Bora and caves. This is a rich agricultural country. And of course, conversely, it was most heavily mined country in the world at that time. So as we went in for the demining, we introduced the trellis grapevines and pruned the vine, double the yield. We introduced the trellising that helped take the farmers from growing grapes on mounds, subject to phylloxera. You know, the grapes were hidden, and you know, they were harvesting on peak hours of the heat, dragging the grapes to market on burlap sacks and expecting a meager profit. Well, we received generous funding as we went to Washington, D.C. from USAID, and we began our first RAMP program, Rural Agricultural Marketing Program. And we again began with that pilot project and then expanded to 16 other provinces. And over the years, this took root. The farmers saw that we were making their land profitable, not only profitable, but providing farmers the dignity to feed their families. And when they had enough money, they were able to educate their children. And then the neighbors were able to see the success model, so they were adopting the pilot programs. And it spread throughout the entire country of Afghanistan. in all 34 provinces. And over the years, my husband and I traveled over 50 times to Afghanistan. We managed over $200 million with funding from USAID, DOD, European Union, Asian Development Bank, World Bank, and became really a business model for peace. Again, the demine, replant, rebuild. So as we restored these beautiful rootstock and again returned adapted crops and soils back to their native lands, the farmers were prosperous. But we realized that there was another aspect of this that we were not addressing properly. And that was the exports of these fresh fruits to new markets. Well, of course, with the situation in Afghanistan, the buyers were not going to come and risk their lives to go to Afghanistan. So Roots of Peace had an innovative concept, and we brought the traders to Gulf Food, which is the largest food exhibition in the world, which is hosted every February in Dubai. Decades ago, the farmers from Afghanistan would bring their fruits to India. And if anybody on this broadcast is from India would know the Kabuliwalas. They were legendary fabled traders that would come every harvest season to India and bring these delicious pomegranates from Kandahar, apples, apricots, almonds from Ghazni, Wardak, Logar, cherries from Badakhshan, and of course, saffron from Herat, and bring these baskets of fruit and sell them. So when we reintroduce buyer to seller, again, a business model for peace, agricultural exports in 2014 averaged around $250 million through the trade and exports. We took up to $1.4 billion by 2020. And so soon we created a cold storage refrigeration, teaching the farmers to sort properly in corrugated boxes, labeling Afghan sweet grapes. And then we established the first ever cold storage refrigeration at Hamid Karzai International Airport. And we were able to create an air corridor. So when the fruits were harvested beginning in July, August, September, we got those fresh fruits properly sorted, corrugated into supermarkets, Big Bazaar, Reliance. I mean, India is no longer a very, very poor country with people begging on the streets as people stereotype. No, it's middle class and growing upper class with a high demand for high quality fruit. So this is the economics of peace. This is the business of peace that Roots of Peace is in. Now, you know, we all had a stark awakening in August 2021 when there was a regime change, one of the most difficult and challenging times of my professional career, and a very frightening time because we had worked there for over a decade, and suddenly it was unveiled that Roots of Peace was a woman-led NGO. And it was a defining moment whether this had just gotten too hard. But we realized that the fruit was ripe on the vine. It was September. It was time to harvest. And I thought, you know, if I quit right now as a woman, I'm feeding into the stereotype. So, I had a wonderful parents and a father who was a farmer. And, you know, he said, Heidi, get back on that horse. You giddy up and you ride. You committed to this, you do it. And how many fathers would say that to their daughters, right? But, he has now since passed, but his spirit lives with me forever. And, you know, again, as I always say, if I've seen further than others, it's only because I've stood on the shoulders of giants. And those giants begin with my own family.
Yeah, wonderful. Let's take another break.
Sure.
Come back and maybe talk about, I want to talk about Vietnam and then some other, maybe some current problems that you're having, solutions you're finding.
Sure.
We're talking with Heidi Kuhn, who is the founder of the nonprofit organization Roots of Peace. She's led initiatives to restore agriculture and in the former conflict zones, restore soil health, enhance food security, support livelihoods, and help sustain local communities with new sources of food and income. This, the Roots of Peace does after they remove the landmines. So it's a big project. Utah State University is hosting Heidi Kuhn, the 2023 World Food Prize Laureate, as the keynote speaker of the USU Food Security and Solutions Symposium, which is happening today in the Life Sciences Building in the auditorium and atrium, beginning with the keynote talk at 3 p.m. The event is free and open to the public. We'll have more following this break. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking with Heidi Kuhn, who's founder of Roots of Peace. She's the 2023 World Food Prize Laureate, and she is giving the keynote speech at the USU Food Security and Solutions Symposium, which is today. It's in the Life Sciences Building on the USU campus. The keynote address is 3 o'clock. The event is free and open to the public. The symposium also includes student presentations and networking. Try to find solutions to hunger in Utah and other areas. Roots of Peace can be found at rootsofpeace.org. The symposium is sponsored by the College of Agriculture and Applied Sciences, the Center for Anticipatory Intelligence, the Hiravi Peace Institute, and Hunger Solutions Institute at Utah State University. So Heidi Kuhn, we were talking about Afghanistan. You're talking about when the Taliban came in, nervous time. Mm-hmm. This is your NGO is obviously a woman-led NGO. Mm-hmm. Are you still in Afghanistan?
Mm-hmm. Amazingly, we are. And again, it's based on trust. You know, when we've had conversations with, which you have to do when you work in any country, it was told directly that, Mrs. Kuhn, we don't look at you as a woman. We look at you as a mother who's feeding our children, and if that works, that's exactly where you know, beyond the politics, we have a responsibility. Let me tell you about our programs that we're currently very proudly working in Afghanistan. We are funded by the U.S. Department of State, INL, International Narcotics and Law Enforcement, and we partner with UNDP. Roots of Peace is the implementing partner on the ground with over 100 employees, Afghans, many who have worked for us for over 20 years, and we have planted since August 2021 over 1.5 million additional fruit trees in addition to the 7 million already planted, and that is sustainable peace through agriculture, because each and every year, rather than just flying food into Hamid Karzai International Airport, leaving it and hoping it gets disseminated on trucks to various provinces, these fruit trees will come back for future generations. And, you know, that is the legacy of what I believe America has left behind, the fruit trees that will continue to grow and feed future generations. Now, is this challenging? Absolutely. The de facto authority is commonly referred to as the Taliban. There are very, very interesting parts that are not reported on widely in the media because the media, quite frankly, isn't there. But one very interesting point is that the new regime, very strict, in April 2022, had an edict to eradicate all poppies from throughout the entire country of Afghanistan. Now, what that has done is created barren land, which is relatively the size of the state of Delaware. Now, those farmers will have their children starve. And if not starve, then you have, quite frankly, a hiring hall for ISIS to come in and hire those farmers who are desperate. And you know, conflict then continues between Taliban and ISIS, and the nightmare just even goes further. What Roots of Peace is doing is we're going into those areas in Kandahar and others where poppies were prominently grown, and we're planting pomegranates instead of poppies. And 2 or 3 years from a business standpoint, the profit from those poppies will far outdo the poppies. And, you know, this is a highly successful model. So far, we've planted this year in 2024, 80,000 trees. Now, that's very low because the funding, of course, for many reasons, has been frozen as far as investing in Afghanistan. From my humble perspective, I think really it's about feeding the children. As Dr. Norman Borlaug said, you know, every child born into this world deserves a right to food And I think Roots of Peace, we serve the farmer and not the flag. I know there's many veterans perhaps who are listening to this. I was so proud for the past 22 years to work with the U.S. Army, General John F. Campbell, General Petraeus, the ADTs, the Afghan development teams, they were so proud to work in all those 34 provinces and would call into Roots of Peace and give us reports how proud they were to be teaching the farmers to get back to the earth, the pride that they had when they saw the harvest of hope, come from the fruits that of the earth in which they planted. So, war is a terrible thing. There are winners and losers, but it's the legacy of what we leave behind. And I think the call to action right now, in using our imagination, as you said, I'm just one mom, one grandmother now, of seven who passionately feels about this. But, the tiniest mustard seed can sometimes, grow forth to impact social change. I'm very grateful. Now, the last challenge I'll end on is women. We cannot not talk about how we're serving the women. Well, of course, women cannot be educated right now, but we do workarounds there. We're educating the women in agribusiness. We're bringing kitchen gardens into the homes. We're bringing a program that is so interesting. We bring the little baby chicks inside the home. The children are just, joyful and seeing these little yellow baby chicks. Chicks grow up into chicks. Chickens lay eggs. The eggs provide the protein for the mother to feed their children. The husbands take the excess eggs and sell them to market. And then they come back, the husbands come back and treat their wives with a little more respect because they want more of those little chicks that grow up into chickens. So, we're very, very proud of those programs. And, one story I'd like to share with the listeners, because I do talk with the Afghan women on a regular basis via Zoom, just to know that, we're not an ivory tower. We're listening to their needs and we're there for them. One mother shortly after the recent earthquake in Herat said, just thank you so much. And I'm thinking in my mind, why is she saying thank you? I mean, I can't do possibly enough for what I want to do. And she said, Mrs. Kuhn, we have five children. One day my husband came home and our youngest daughter is very beautiful. She's 10 years old. And my husband said she has a proposal for marriage. Just at that time, Roots of Peace came in and offered me a job. I have a job, I have dignity, and I didn't have to sell my 10-year-old daughter. Thank you, Mrs. Kuhn.
Wow. Yeah, so a lot of ramifications here. It's positive things. Just have a 1 or 2 minutes left in the conversation. I wonder what are the most pressing needs right now? What would you like people to do? I guess one thing is, people could do is go to rootspeace.org and give money, provide help, right?
Yes. And, please donate. We're a humanitarian 501c3 nonprofit. But most of all, share this. Let's build a consortium here. Let's make history today from the heart of Utah. We can't wait for it to come from ivory towers at the UN or, complicated situations, perhaps in our nation's capital. This is the heartland. This is the soil. This is the soul of America. And I think as we remove the landmines from the soil, we must remove them from our hearts and replenish it with something we don't talk about, and that is the gift of love. And I think that's stronger than the hate that is permeating throughout the planet. We can have conversations later. We work in Guatemala. Farmers make $7 a day down there. They come to our borders because they know via the internet they make $20 an hour. But we're introducing the shade cropping. And not only are they growing coffee, but we're introducing the avocado and the macadamia nut. And now they're doubling and tripling their income in the Western Highlands, in Huehuetenango, in Quiche, in San Marcos. And these families don't want to leave their grandmothers, their children, their villages. They want to stay home and break bread with their family. So it's about dignity for farmers all around the world. And I believe if I have a message here in Utah, the answer is in the soil and the soul of humanity. And the soil will produce, if we have the intention and the investment in cultivating peace through agriculture.
Well, wonderful. We'll leave it there. Great way to end the hour. We've been talking with Heidi Kuhn, who's the founder of the nonprofit organization Roots of Peace. You can find them at rootsofpeace.org. And Utah State University is hosting Heidi Kuhn, who is the 2023 World Food Prize Laureate, as the keynote speaker of the USU Food Security and Solutions Symposium. That's happening today. Life Sciences Building, Auditorium and Atrium, beginning with keynote talk at 3 p.m., continuing with several other events. This event is free and open to the public. Symposium is sponsored by the College of Agriculture and Applied Sciences, Center for Anticipatory Intelligence, Haravi Peace Institute, and Hunger Solutions Institute at Utah State University. Heidi Kuhn, such a pleasure. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for the honor. It's such a great admirer of yours. So
thank you
so much for conducting this interview.
Thank you for all the work you do. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll go out as we do on Wednesdays with Beehive Archive. Thanks.